Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here today. I love it whenever Felipe and Valerie are here to join us. Can we just show our appreciation to them again? Man, we love you guys. First time I met them, I believe it was in 2008. I got to join Brad and Jeremy Earl on a mission trip down to visit them, and I've loved their ministry. I've loved them ever since. And I told Felipe on my way up here that at the 8 o'clock service, he prayed that I would be buoyed in the Spirit. And what I heard and everyone else in the service heard was that I would be booed by the Spirit. And but we were comforted to know that that wasn't it. Buoyed and booed, much different words there. So when I was younger, I have this very just vivid memory of my dad changing jobs, and we spent the Saturday afternoon cleaning out his company car. The company had given him this car to use while he worked for them. And so he said, come on, we're going to go out here. We're going to detail this thing before I have to give it back. And as a young teenage boy, I'm like, I can think of 100 things I would rather be doing with my Saturday afternoon than cleaning out this car. And I asked him, Dad, why are we going to so much work to clean a car that doesn't belong to you and that you are about ready to turn back in when you take this new job? And he taught me a lesson that day that clearly has stuck with me. He said, yeah, this car isn't mine, but they trusted it to me, and I want to give it back to them better than how I found it. What I learned later on in my life is that that's stewardship. That's being a good steward. Now, a steward is someone who has been given oversight and responsibility over something that belongs to someone else. My dad was being a good steward of this car that did not belong to him. Fast forward many years later, Amber and I are married, and we were given an example of a bad steward. We knew some people that were going through a hard time. They were trying to get their feet back underneath them. He had just taken a job, but they only had one car. And we said, hey, for a couple of weeks, I think that we can get along just being a single car family. Why don't you borrow my car for a little bit? And so we gave it to him, and a couple of weeks passed, and I called him up, and I was like, hey, I could really use my car back. And like, oh, yeah, we'll get that to you. Another week went by, hey, I could really use my car back. And finally, they're like, okay, we'll bring it to you on Sunday afternoon. And they get to our house, and he walks up, and he gives me the keys, and he said, yeah, last week we hit a pothole, and I'm pretty sure your axle's broken. You might want to get that checked out. And like, turn and left. And I said to myself, no, there's more to this conversation that needs to be had about how you're going to help make it right? But that was it. Turned around, left, and we were stuck replacing the axle on this vehicle. That is an example of bad stewardship. And we can probably all think of times when, you know, we have been good stewards and times maybe when we've been not so good stewards. When we've borrowed a tool from a neighbor and we gave it back to them promptly and it was clean. And times when we've borrowed a tool from a neighbor and we opened up a drawer 5 years later and we're like, oh, I need to get that back to them. We know what it's like to be good stewards, and we know what it's like to be not so good stewards. And that's what our sermon is about today, the impact that good stewardship can make. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app that you like to use, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. That's going to be our text for today. We're going to start in verse 14, Matthew chapter 25. One of our core values as a church, maybe you've seen it even on our walls, we really try to live it and practice it. It's we live like God owns everything. It's a stewardship value. And before you start thinking, oh great, I come to church today, or even worse, I invited somebody to come to church today, and now we're talking about money. So we're not talking about giving today. We're not talking about money per se. That's next week. So come back then for that one. But I think what we're talking about today actually involves so much more than that. It's maybe even more difficult than just giving. Because stewardship is not just giving. I mean, you notice, like, our value does not say we give like God owns everything. That's a giving value. This is we live like God owns everything. That's a stewardship value. And so this value is about what you do with what you have, how you manage it, how you hold on to it. And to me, that requires a whole lot more from us than just what we give. It all comes down to how we use the resources that God has entrusted to us. Do we hold on to them with closed fists and say, this is mine, it belongs to me? Or do we open up our hands and say, no, God, this is yours because everything belongs to yours? A closed fist says it's mine and I'm going to use it how I want to use it. But open hands say, no, God, this is yours. You use it as you will because it all belongs to you. Stewardship requires a lot more from us than just giving money. The first question that a good steward asks is, who does this really belong to? Who actually owns it? My dad knew that the car that he drove, it was not his, and so it informed how he treated it. When we borrow something from a friend, we feel a little bit extra pressure because it's not ours, and so we want to take care of it the way that they would take care of it because it doesn't belong to us. And so who actually owns all that we have? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about that, and like, spoiler alert, it ain't you. It's not me. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. He created it. He owns it. It's his. Later in Psalm 50, verse 10, the Lord says, for all of the animals of the forest are mine, and I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. It all belongs to God. And if that's true, and he's just entrusted it to us momentarily, then that changes everything, doesn't it? Because if we own our stuff and it belongs to us, then we can use it however we want to. But if it belongs to God, then there should be some consideration to God, how do you want to use your resources? What do you want me to do with them? And so how can we live as good stewards of what actually belongs to God? Jesus addresses this in our story today. It's this parable that he tells. And look at it with me. It's Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So let's leave the passage up here on the screen and ask the question, what is it? Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. What is the it that he's talking about? Well, if you look at the context here, this story, this parable that Jesus tells is nestled into a few other stories that he tells about the culmination of all things. He's looking ahead. He knows that he's about ready to go through the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, that he was going to return to heaven for a while, but then would return one day for the consummation of all things. These stories that Jesus tells gives us a little bit of insight into what that day will be like. And so that's what he says. Again, it, that day, will be like this man going on a journey. And this man, as he goes, he leaves everything that he owns to his servants. It says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Each bag was worth about 20 years of wages for the average person. And so this guy just handed out, if you put this in today's context right here in Bloomington, Indiana, of the average household income, he just entrusted to the first person $4.2 million, to the second person $1.7 million, and to the third person a measly $850,000, but hopefully he can get by. Oftentimes, Jesus uses hyperbole in a parable to make his point. And the point is that these servants, like us, we have been entrusted with a lot. It goes on in verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. We are currently living in between verse 18 and 19. We are living in the period where we are stewarding what God has entrusted to us, and one day there will be a time when the master returns and we are to give account for it. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. In other words, he is a businessman. He knows how to make a profit. And so I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I do not scatter seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. And so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here's the point, I believe, of this story. All 3 servants knew how the master would have treated his money, how he would have used it, but only 2 of them actually did it. They all had the knowledge, but only 2 of them put that knowledge into action. 2 of them handled their master's money the way that their master would have. The other one didn't. He buried it because he was living out of fear more than faith. And as a result, the master's resources were not used in the way that he intended them to be used. And I think what we learn here is that the question any good steward asks is, how can I use what's been entrusted to me in a way the person who actually owns it would? How can I use what has been entrusted to me momentarily for a little bit in a way that the person who actually owns it would? Good stewards use the resources entrusted to them the way that the owner of those resources would. And everything that we have, whether it be our time or our treasure or our talent, anything that we have is a gift from God to be used for him and by him. And so if it all belongs to him, then how does God want us to use what he's entrusted to us? The Apostle Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Use whatever you have to serve others. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so as with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so whatever gift that we have received, whether it be the gift of time, our abilities, the gift of money, possessions, whatever gift you have received from the Lord, faithful stewards use that gift in the way that the owner of it would have. They bring glory to God through Jesus. In other words, a good steward uses God's resources to build God's kingdom. A good steward uses God's resources to build God's kingdom. A few months ago, Tim Thompson, who is our Bedford campus minister, he moved out of his one-bedroom apartment that was on the square in downtown Bedford and bought a new house just a few blocks away. So he moved out of this kind of small one-bedroom apartment into something that had a little bit more character and a whole lot more space. And he said one afternoon, he was sitting there looking around this house that he had just bought, going, what in the world am I supposed to do with all of this space that I now have? I was perfectly fine in that little apartment that I lived in. What, God, do you want me to do with this home that I feel like you led me to buy? A few weeks later, Tim gets a call from a social worker in Lawrence County. And there are two boys, 12 and 14, that they were looking for a placement. And Tim had been pretty involved in these boys' lives when they were much younger. And so they were hoping maybe he knew of a family member that they didn't, a connection that they didn't know about, that would be able to provide a place for these boys to stay. And so she put that ask out, and Tim's response was, how about me? And Tim had just been praying, God, how do you want me to use this house that you have blessed me with for your glory, for your kingdom? And so for the last couple of weeks, these two boys have been living with Tim, all because he was willing to hold on to his house, his time, his ability, his resources, not with closed fists and say, it's all mine, but with open hands to say, God, what do you want to do with this? That stewardship. We see signs of stewardship all across our church. It's beautiful. And one of my favorite ways is through our Peacemakers ministry, who is putting this into action. They are living in every way like God owns everything. Let's check out this video.
Peacemakers is one of the community outreaches we have here at Sherwood Oaks. It's a mission to help people in our neighborhood and surrounding counties with items that they may need in order for their daily survival or to make it more comfortable for them.
We are always busy. We make so many different projects. It's a loving ministry to help others.
My mother taught me to sew, and I sewed with her for many years, and I feel like that if you have a talent that God has improved on, you should do that to the best of your ability.
They made all the costumes for the live nativity, and then it grew from that to helping people in the nursing homes within the Monroe County area by making lap blankets.
We have made crib sheets for the babies at New Hope. We got the material from hotels, and then we had some material left over, so we made pillowcases. And we gave those to New Hope too. We try to use all of our material that is given to us, and this is a way that we've showed God's love to the community.
I make cancer bags for drain bags. And if you don't have hair, here's hats. And if you have edema, here's heart pillows.
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was given a lymphedema pillow, and it definitely was a lifesaver for me to be able to use that lymphedema pillow so that my arm didn't rub the incision from my lumpectomy.
Another thing that we do all the time are walker bags, and these just fit over the front of a walker.
I've learned how to sew dignity bags. These are for patients in the nursing home who have to have catheters.
Another project we started not long ago was making receiving blankets for the Hope Resource Center in Bedford, and they are so appreciative of what we do for them that it's a lot of fun. When I first retired from teaching, I went into depression for a while because I didn't know what to do with myself and I didn't feel needed anymore. And when I found this group, everybody, we pray for each other, we cry for each other, we laugh with each other.
It really is our Connect group and it's our community.
They've been here for me through so many things, difficult times, losing my daughter 4 years ago. And there's nothing like knowing you have sisters in Christ that's there for you each and every day and every step of the way, and it just means so much to me.
I love every one of them. We work together as a team and we just love being in each other's company.
Dee Wood would sew the preemie outfits for stillborn babies, and she would pray continually over the items, and all the women pray when they're making and sewing these different things or they're crocheting. They pray over the items so that the people that receive them will feel God's love.
Yeah, praise God. Okay. What does this value look like? What does it look like to live like God owns everything? It looks like that. It looks like a group of ladies saying, I'm going to take my talent, I'm going to take some material that I have or I've been given, and I'm going to make something beautiful from it. That is living like God owns everything. It's looking at the extra beds in your home, going, God, there are so many people who need a bed, and I've got them in excess in my home. What do you want me to do with them? Living like God owns everything is holding your resources with open hands, using God's resources to build God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is all about people, to invest in others and bring heaven just a little bit closer to earth in their lives. And so it really does come down to how we view our stuff. Does it hold on to us or do we hold on to it? Do we hold it with closed fists and say, no, it's mine, I'm going to do with it what I want? Or do we hold it with open hands and say, God, it all belongs to you, do with it what you will? And so maybe for you, your next step today is to look at what God has entrusted to you and ask the question, God, how do you want me to use your resources to build your kingdom? And that might mean asking, God, how do you want me to use my fishing boat to build your kingdom? And that question might lead you to inviting some neighborhood friends, reaching out to Youth for Christ and saying, hey, you got some sixth grade boys that want to go fishing? I just saw a hand back there. Come on, we got a sixth grade boy in this room that wants to go fishing. I love that. Maybe it's inviting some neighborhood kids and getting to know their families. God, what do you want me to do with that extra bedroom in our house? That is a question that Amber and I asked several years ago. And it led us to become foster parents, which eventually led to adoption. How do you want me to use my time, my camper? How do you want me to use my savings? Ooh, no, that's mine. No, God, how do you want me to use my savings even? And you might be thinking, but Sean, I have not been given very much. Well, that's okay. How are you going to use what you have been given? As you notice in the story that Jesus tells, the guy doesn't say, hey, listen, you only gave me $840,000. What was I supposed to do with that? And the master didn't be like, oh, you're right. I should have given you more. I'm so sorry. No, he was held accountable. What are you going to do with what you've got? That's the question I think all of us need to ask ourselves. What will you do with what you've got? Will you hold on to it, or will you let go and say, God, it's yours. Use it to build your kingdom. This is something all of us can do, and I hope that you do. Many of you are already living this out in so many incredible ways. But as we close out today, I want to do something just a little bit different, something that I have been looking forward to. Like, I've been excited about this particular morning and this moment for the last 2+ months. I said in today's sermon that it is not about you giving, and that's true. Today's sermon is not about giving. Today's sermon is about us giving to you. Typically, we invite you to come, you know, to church and to give to the church as part of, you know, your offering and your worship. But today, we want to give to a few of you. And so I am looking for 3 people or couples who are ready to go on an adventure for God, who maybe have been praying, God, use me in some way, somehow, for your glory, and I'm ready to just take this step of faith and go wherever you might be leading. And so I'm looking for 3 people right now, first 3 people to come up here on the stage and join me who are ready to go on an adventure for God. Now, don't all move at once, okay? Don't all move at once. Would it help if I tell you I'm giving you $100? Okay. Now, to be fair, Andrew was already coming up here before I threw that out. Do I have one more? Come on. No, they're going to be baptized. Yeah, you come up here. You come on up here. All right, do I got one more? I got 2. Oh, yes, we got a couple right there. Fantastic. Come on up. Let's give them a hand as they come. You all are brave souls. No, you can't hide out there in the shadows. Get up here in the light. Come on. We want to be able to see you. Wow, man, that bald spot's getting worse. All right, so I never see that view. So here's $100 for you, okay? And there's $100 for you. and there's $100 for you. Now, this is not your money. This is not my money. This is God's money, and he is entrusting it to you to build his kingdom, all right? And so let's find out who our brave souls are that just took this challenge. So give us your name and how long you've been attending Sherwood Oaks.
My name is Tom Rumler, and this is my wife, Kelly. I don't remember. I think probably 10 years.
10 years? Okay. All right.
My name is Andrew Clampett. I've been coming here 4 or 5 years now.
Okay. And wife is one of our new deacons now as well, Abra.
For the record, I thought she was coming with me.
That's awesome.
I'm Katie Starr, and I've been here about 6 weeks.
Okay. Hey, all right. Let's give them a hand. That is awesome. I love it. Okay, so here's a little bit about what you got yourself into. Like I said, this is God's money, and we don't want this money back, okay? This is not for you to go out and put an investment and say, hey, we took this $100 and we got $200. Because God's kingdom is not built on money. It's about people. That's what God cares about. And so our challenge to you is to take that $100 and invest it in what matters to God. Invest it in God's kingdom. Use his resources for God's kingdom. And so you can get creative with that. You can do it however you want. We're not going to tell you how you want can do that. You can take that $100 and you can say, well, I'm one of God's people, and so I'm just going to invest it right here in my pocket. You can do that. That would probably be kind of like burying that money, and that didn't really end too well for the servant in our parable today. You can take that money and you can give it to an organization in our community that's doing good work, and that's good. That will multiply and it will be put to good use. But looking at the four of you, I think you can be a little bit more creative than that. And so our challenge to you is to be bold. To pray, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to multiply this money to build and to grow your kingdom? And however that looks like, maybe it's getting your connect group involved. Maybe it's getting some friends and other family members involved. We want you to put that money towards the use of building God's kingdom. And so while we don't want it back, what I do want is you back. Here in a few months, we're going to invite you back up here on this stage. And we want to just hear and celebrate what God was able to do through that money that you invested in his kingdom. You guys up for the challenge? I hope so. All right. Hey, let's give them another hand, and I'm going to pray for them before they go. God, thank you so much for the brave souls that came up here to just say, I'm ready to go on an adventure for you. And Lord, we cannot wait to see what they do, how you take this $100 and you multiply it to grow your kingdom, to make an impact in the lives of others. And so, Lord, give them inspiration, help others to come alongside of them. And Lord, we just are looking forward to celebrating what you do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, join me right down there after service so that you can find a little bit more about what you just got yourself into. All right. Wonderful. Let's give them another hand. Thanks, bud. Kind of the cool thing about that money, that $100 that each of them received, it started as a $1 bill that some of you gave to the Dollar Club Ministry. And it multiplied into that $100, into that $300, that multiplied into $1,500 that we are giving out at all of our campuses and all of our services this morning. And we cannot wait to see how that $1,500 just continues to multiply for the growth of the kingdom. So good stewards use God's resources to build God's kingdom, something all of us can do. They know that it belongs to him and that they've just been entrusted with it for a little while. And so they use their resources the way that he would. They use what they've been given for the good of others, not just themselves. And imagine the impact that your life could make when you live out this value, when you live like God owns everything. And Jesus is our perfect example of this. Jesus used his time, his talents, his abilities. He used everything that God had given him for our good. He laid it down. And even though when he walked this earth, he had every right to all that came to him as God, He gave it up. He held on to it loosely, ultimately giving up his very own life so that we could find salvation, going to the cross so that we could be given forgiveness, new life, and a fresh start. All we have to do is receive this gift that we have been given. If you haven't done that yet, we're about ready to have one baptism here this morning. We'd love to have more. If you want to talk to somebody about giving your life to Christ, about starting to follow him, we're going to have some people in orange lanyards all around the room here in just a moment. Go find one of them. Say, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to start following after Jesus and finding and living in the life that he provides. If you need someone to pray with you, going through something, it's been a hard week, a hard month, a hard life. Would you please give us the honor of coming alongside and praying for you? Maybe even nudging the person next to you and saying, I don't really feel comfortable walking up. Would you just pray for me right now? We have communion boxes all around the room, and maybe this is just a moment for you to remember. Remember that gift that you have received in Christ and to ask yourself, am I just going to use my salvation for me? Or am I going to allow God to work through me to help others find the same gift of grace I have found in him as well? Whatever your response is this morning, whatever steps you need to take, we just want to enter into this moment that is between you and the Lord. We'll give you a few moments. Come up, grab communion, put your offering in the box if you didn't get to do that earlier. And just spend some time reflecting on our generous God who has given us so much. Father, thank you for all of your gifts, not the least of which your grace that has transformed us and shaped us. Lord, you are a generous God, and so my prayer is that we in our lives, I will reflect your generosity. And that the resources that you have entrusted to me and to us and to this church, that we will live like they truly do belong to you, that we will live with hands that are open saying, here they are, Lord, use them to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.